Welcome back to Transactional Love. In this exclusive unboxing episode, Wendy and I reflect and ruminate on the Tortured Poets Department's albums dropped by Taylor Swift about a month ago. We delve into the beauty and the heartbreak. This is the edited 13-minute version. For the full uncut 31-minute episode, head over to Patreon. Link is in our show notes.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Norma. I missed you. I'm so excited to see you.
I know. So
it's been too long, which is, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
A fortnight.
2 weeks is way too long, for sure.
Yeah.
And this is definitely an excuse episode. We're working on lots of really amazing interviews and content that I can't wait to bring to all of our avid lover listeners.
Yes.
But right now, we're going to be unboxing the Taylor Swift album drop, Tortured Poets Department. And I just have to say that I'm a big Swiftie. You are a bigger Swiftie. Like, if we're going on a scale of 1 to 10, you being 10, which it could be, like, 11 or 12 or 15.
I feel like I thought I was, like, on an 8, mm-hmm. and then Spotify told me that I was, like, top 2% of listeners with my husband's listening worked in. So then I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. So you're a Swiftie.
I'm a Swiftie. I've been a Swiftie since she was a country artist, which mm-hmm. I will proudly say. When her first album came out, mm-hmm. her self-titled album, I picked out her CD from a Best Buy. And I was not a country listener at the time. I remember her music playing on the pop radio station. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who is this girl? Feeling like this really cool vibe about her. And she was also young. Yeah. Not only was sounding a little more poppy compared to other country music, she was also young to be in the genre. And I remember it standing out. Here was her self-titled album.
I think it's interesting that you didn't listen to country music because I was definitely in the country music scene when she debuted. I grew up on the Central Coast, like very agricultural. That's our bread and butter. We have 6 country music radio stations. And
2006.
Like, oh no, that was her first album was 2006? I graduated high school in 2003. This feels weird to me.
Yeah, I was definitely at that Best Buy. I'll never forget. So yeah, I was in college.
That can't be right. That can't be right.
It is. I thought I was younger.
I thought I was younger too. I thought I've had a love affair with Taylor for quite some time.
That's what she does to us.
She does. It's because of the drugs she puts in the lyrics, right?
Yeah, 2006. I should have known this before we started the
No, the it's podcast. Great. This is real life. This is authentic. Okay, so you're like number one through the heart with a dart, a Swiftie. There's no wavering.
Yeah.
So I probably describe myself as like a 15%er. Like I'm very attracted to all of the things that Taylor Swift offers the world. So here are the key components that are important to me. One, lyricism. She nails it. She's a poet.
Thank you for saying that because I've always been an evangelizer of her being a lyricist. She's a writer. She's a storyteller. And then the music is a next layer, but she leads with word.
So that's the thing about T Swift is that she's got the hook and the depth to the work.
Yeah, it's consumable, but also has complexity to it. So and you were saying you were a country listener and you didn't really stumble upon, or when did you really start listening and paying attention?
Probably like Folklore was like the album that really was like
during the pandemic.
Yeah. And that was obviously written before pandemic happened. We're just like in it. And then what was the album after?
Evermore. This is sister album.
Yeah. So this is my brain, right? She's just been producing so much music.
While she's doing a whole global tour, she's re-recording albums and she's doing the marketing, the building of the next era.
Why is she re-recording?
Because of, there's this whole backstory. So she was trying to buy her music mm-hmm. from the label that she signed with. Right. She tried to buy them rightfully. They weren't sold to her. She didn't even get the option. According to her, someone bought the rights to these albums, her music that she's written and produced, like
her
obviously
heart.
Right? But there's a loophole in all those contracts that if she re-records, she can own those rights. So that's why all of these albums have Taylor version attached to it.
Okay.
So when you're streaming artists in general, I think it's changing. It's doing a couple things to the industry. I think so. First, it's making artists more aware of their power.
Yeah.
Obviously, a label is going to create a platform. It's going to create access. It's going to create marketing opportunities that maybe they wouldn't have. But at the same time, the artist is the creator, right? So how much ownership do they have?
Right.
But now contracts are being written super tight.
Mm-hmm.
So Taylor's re-recording her albums to own her own music. She's on this global tour. Mm-hmm. Reputation is very anticipated. Her self-titled album is very anticipated. It's been said, which I think is interesting, after she re-records all her albums, the youngest will hear Taylor is Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Folklore and Evermore was after Lover. So in my head, in anticipation of the Grammys, I was shocked. If you go back to rewatch her acceptance speech, she puts up the number 2 mm-hmm. very slyly. Like, I have something up my sleeve. Now, we all know it was 2 albums that she was dropping, which is crazy.
Right.
So the fact that she was recording for this entire time, and she's talked about this for Reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Reputation, she was not in a good place.
Right.
She disappeared a little while after the public feud.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she talks about how creation helped her heal. And she goes, I'm not going to apologize anymore about how much music I'm putting out. Mm-hmm. I know I'm happiest mm-hmm. when I'm putting out my art. My art is music. My art is poetry. I'm going to create. If people want to consume it, wonderful. If they don't, that's great too.
Yes.
So I think to me, these 2 albums, The Tortured Poets Department, is for her.
Yeah.
And for her true fans that can listen and say, this is what it means, because we know from what she's able to share with us over the many years and her albums.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I think her previous work had been
accessible.
Vague enough for anybody.
Yeah.
Whereas the specificity of this album and the vulnerability is more about like, I'm not going to appeal to the masses. I'm going to appeal to myself.
Okay. So that dovetails into the only question I wrote down to ask you about the album.
Yes.
And then also this thought I have about the Beatles. So the Beatles were mass produced for consumption. They started playing music in Liverpool and then they came stateside. And so they made music for us. And then at some point they were like, oh, wait. We need to make music for us.
Yeah.
And I feel like this album is Taylor saying, no, I'm making music for me. And that comes into my question for you, which is that for me, this album is an anthem for my last 6 months. When I heard the album, I was just like laying in bed at night, late at night. It was like 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night. And I'm just still listening to the album as it's streaming into my ears. And I'm just like, falling. And that experience is super cathartic. And so the question is, for someone who is in a loving relationship, how does this album resonate?
That is such a good question. And I don't care how heartbroken you are in a moment, you've been heartbroken before, right? Mm-hmm. I think we all experience that. I think the album just brings out humanity of vulnerability, of love. I think everybody, their heartbreak, I think we can all relate, right?
Yeah.
Different levels of complexity. It's kind of like Sex and the City. Like, you can watch it in different layers of life, like times in life. And you notice different things. And I think this album is something you can listen to. Just a young broken heart person to an older, wise broken heart person.
And that's what's beautiful about poetry, right?
Yeah.
She understands that she has this gift to weave both emotion and musicality into one consumable package.
So my first question to you is, which song broke your heart?
Yeah. Oh, Loss of My Life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. L-O-M-L. That's the one. It's Love of My Life. But when she gets to the end of the song, it's Loss of My Life.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that resonated. And I just broke. And then the next 2 are like pile-ons onto this feeling of what was this all about and why did we do any of it? And are we better for it? I don't know. And then we get to Peter and then I'm broken again.
Because of Wendy. Yes, I thought about you.
Yeah.
Peter losing weight. This album is like so specific.
Yeah. Context is really important.
I think regardless of your life situation and the loves that you have had in your life, the heartbreaks, I think we can all share this trying to define what this feeling is that we have.
Okay, next question.
My question to both of us is, but you go first.
Okay.
What are you anticipating the most now? Okay, so to give context on the moment that we're having this conversation, so we've been trying to unbox this album since it came out.
We both went to a little mini depression.
Yeah, totally.
I literally texted my whole team at work. They were like, how's everybody feeling about the new Taylor Swift drop? And I was like, I'm depressed and I can't work right now. Like, I pulled the millennial card of I'm not coming in today because Taylor Swift dropped an album. I didn't even know that there was this East like Coast second time. Release. I got the first album and I was like, cool, this is great. Wonderful. I'm going to digest this. I still didn't finish it, but I digested it. And then I see Norma at like 10 a.m. the next day. And she was like, but did you hear? And I'm like, hear what?
And I was like, wait, Wendy, what?
No.
And so I was so honored to look at her in the eyes and say, Wendy.
There's another album.
There's a whole nother album.
And good on you, because I would have been like, wait, I thought I listened to this whole album.
Anyway, I was trying to set context. It's May 19th. So we're like a month out. We would unbox 2 weeks after Fortnite, a fortnight after Fortnite. And we weren't together.
Nope.
And then the Eras Tour started again. So we're unboxing deep. And a lot of the reviews have already come out. So it sounds like old news, but I feel like I don't know. It feels clear.
Because it's not old news to people who it resonates with. It's never going to be old news.
Never.
Never. I think it's an album that as you unpack it and as you spend time with it, it becomes more resonant for more. And I love hearing that you were able to unpack it or engage with it on a level that was like, no, I've been through all of those things. So my very specific world that I'm in, that I'm going to let you in on air, is that the Boy Who Broke My Heart is now back in my world. And so that broke my heart pre-album drop, back in my world post-album drop. And I have listened to and healed and cathartically released all of this stuff a la Taylor. That's the rub right now for me personally, is that it's this, the poetry of it all.
Yeah.
And knowing that imbues a certain amount of hurt, knowing you can't have perfection without some pain. What she delivered was just like her heart on a fucking platter, still beating and bloody. Like, it is insanity and not what I was expecting. So all that to say is I have no idea what is next because my previous predictions were quite wrong. I would love it if she did like some like dance mix music.
Oh, that was one of the questions. What's your banger? Just real quick. Mine's Down Bad.
Yeah. First of all, I don't work out at the gym, but I do yoga. I am doing pigeon and I am crying my eyes out. Like Tuesday night, I teach yoga on Tuesday nights. So I was in pigeon and I was like, please don't cry right now. Please don't cry right now. You're leading a fucking class right now. Please don't cry right now.
I'm down bad and pigeon crying.
I'm down bad. Luckily, it's not on the playlist.
This is the edited 13-minute version. For the full uncut 31-minute episode, head over to Patreon. Link is in our show notes.
We love hearing from you, your comments, likes, all of the things really resonate with us. Find us on Patreon for exclusive episodes and early access. This is Wendy and Norma inviting you to transact with love.